Project Podcast is on. Going behind the scenes of Kansas State Athletics, from the action on the gridiron to the octagon of doom, and much more. Plus making rounds about the happenings in the community. Triple P is loud and proud and ready to take charge in the Big 12 Conference. Podcasting to the Little Apple, Kansas City, and the world. It's the Purple Project Podcast. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
K-State Nation, what's going on, everybody? This is another episode of the Purple Project Podcast, episode 71. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas. The Purple Project Podcast, all about what is going on, the happenings on campus of Kansas State University, the Wildcats. For those of you who do not know, just are new to the podcast, all about the latest and what's going on in K-State Athletics. Before I bring on my co-host on the show, the Purple Project Podcast, a lot's going on these days in the world of K-State sports. Find it wherever you get your podcast. Of course, I'll be rolling out another set of dailies here tomorrow. Here, that includes this podcast episode F71, this weekly edition, will be going out Thursday. So be out on the lookout for that as well. We're on Apple, Spotify, Audio Boom, Amazon, and a couple more outlets out there wherever you get your podcast. Now it's time to bring on my co-host as usual for the weekly edition of Triple P, living in San Diego. Alex, what's going on?
You know, Andy, it's always kind of hard for me to get into college basketball in November. That's football season. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's football. Like, does this feel like basketball season to you right now, Eddie, or does this feel like football season?
Oh, it's still football season right now.
It still feels like football season. In fact, it feels like baseball just ended. It feels like the Braves just won the World Series, you know? So basketball already being here is just crazy. It's crazy. But it's here. It's here since we talked last. We were talking exhibition basketball last time we were on here, and here we are talking about some regular season basketball. You know, men's team, they're 1-0. The women's team, they're 4-0. How about that? And the football team has won 4 in a row in Big 12 play. So, how about that? A little bit of winning going on in the program. Something we didn't see a lot of last year, Eddie. We didn't get to talk a lot about winning. So I hope that this is kind of a foreshadowing of some more winning throughout the year for us. But no, you know, it's good to be on, Eddie. It's good to see the teams winning. The football program, I just want to bring this up. Do you remember when we had a show that was practically dedicated to one of my tweets that went viral right after the Iowa State game?
Yep.
And that thread blew up because there's a lot of backlash from me saying we've got to wait before we pump the brakes on coaching, okay? And the coaching staff, and blow this whole thing up. Pump the brakes. Everyone's like, oh, you're just such an idiot, Alex. Why? Fire them all. Tell them all to transfer out. Let's get rid of the football team. And I was like, good grief. So, anyway, my whole point through all that, Eddie, was let's see how they do over this next 4-game stretch that they have. They have 4 winnable games. Let's see how they do. Well, guess what, Eddie? They won all 4 of them. They won all 4.
Yep.
Went 4-0 in them. And that was my exact point. If you look at how people feel now about the football team compared to a month ago, it is night and day difference. Myself included, I didn't feel good about them after Iowa State. But we talked about this before the season began. We talked about this in the summer when nothing was going on. We said, K-State's schedule is so front-loaded. It is so front-loaded. Those first 3 Big 12 games are just brutal. And, you know, that was kind of what happened. But they're rolling. They're rolling now. They're playing well. They still have the record that I predicted. They have still won/lost every game I've predicted so far prior to the season. And we're only 2 games away, so I'm feeling pretty good, Eddie, about the odds that we had. So, We'll see if they continue that. I predicted them to beat Baylor this week, so we'll see. We'll see if I can keep it up. Although I did predict them losing to Texas, and Texas just lost to KU.
that was my next point. Yeah, that was my next
point.
Oh
boy, there. that was. I really enjoyed that for about 12 hours until I woke up on Sunday morning and saw all KU fans thinking that they were better than K-State football. So, these KU fans, I should have known that their egos would get too big. But it was still worth it. It was still worth it to see. To see Texas lose to KU, KU dropped 57 points on them on their football field. Oh my gosh, what a middle finger to Texas while they're leaving the conference. Eddie, they said the whole reason they were leaving the Big 12 was because they couldn't get up for games like KU, K-State, Iowa State. That's exactly what they said. Well, you know what? You've lost to two of them now. You've lost Iowa State and KU. So we'll see if K-State can give you the trifecta and you go 0-3 against the schools that don't drum up enough excitement for you, Texas. So. You know, it was good to see them just be embarrassed, to be 100% honest, in their own building of all places. It was a great weekend. It was a great weekend of college football, and you know, K-State won. Texas got embarrassed, and Baylor got a huge win against Oklahoma, which makes this K-State Baylor game just that much bigger. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, it does, and we'll stay on a topic for football for right now. Yeah, and I wasn't even aware that KU was beating Texas until my wife Kay has said something while watching the boring ass game with TCU and Oklahoma State. Yeah. We should turn it to a better channel. So I wasn't even aware of the score at the time. She said something, so I turned the channel, and a la, KU was up by like 3 touchdowns in the third quarter, and I just stayed with the game throughout its entirety because KU gave up the lead, and then I had talked to someone else, my other friend, about this over the weekend. I don't know what it is with KU having Texas' number. I just don't know. That's the weirdest thing in this conference. Well, it's definitely a middle finger for Texas. And, oh, by the way, OU lost as well. So it's definitely a sweet weekend. When Oklahoma and Texas both lose in the same weekend. So, yeah, I mean, KU, I got to give kudos.
Credit. They played well. They played very well.
They played very – Jalen Daniels, absolutely unbelievable in that game. And – can't remember the running back's name top of my head, but apparently it was
Neal.
He was good too. So
he was good.
And KU was very optimistic in turnovers. Apparently, Hurd got knocked out of the game, and then of course the highly talented quarterback, apparently Thompson. Can't remember his first name either, top of my head right now. He was battling through a injured finger or something like that. It was throwing him throughout that game. But big loss, though, for Texas, as we're playing them a day after Thanksgiving next week, Alex. A guy that we don't have to deal with. Well, it's sad for them, but it's a fortune break for us, though. But Bijan Robinson out for the year with a dislocated elbow.
You hate to see players like that go out. As an athlete, I mean, I'm not an athlete. As a fan, you know, you want to see those guys. You know, you want to see those guys in the field. And you want to play. For K-State's sake, you're right. Huge break. because he is as talented as any running back in the country. Not looking to get too far ahead of anything. But that Texas game is looking a lot more winnable now than it was earlier. When Texas was playing well, because look, you can't deny this, Eddie. Texas, they got a ton of talent. We all know they have a ton of talent, and it starts with Bijan Robinson.
He's supposed to have a lot of talent.
But look, they've had a receiver transfer out. One of their starting receivers transfer out. They've now lost Bijan Robinson for the year. They're dealing with quarterback issues. And they've lost 5 in a row. And so there's a lot of turmoil going on around that team. And And, you know, when they play K-State, I've heard some people say, you know, will Texas get up and be up for that game? I think that they will be up for that game. That's a nationally televised game on Fox the day after Thanksgiving. Everyone's going to be watching it. Texas knows that. They're going to be at home. It'll be their last game of the year. It might be for bowl eligibility for them if they – well, no, it might be. It will be. They're 4-6. So if they win and they're 5-6, then it'll be for bowl eligibility. I don't know how much motivation that is for them, but I would still think that they would want to avoid not
going
avoid
to a bowl.
Missing a bowl like that. You know, so, I mean, you know, but we'll see. They might lose to West Virginia this weekend on the road, and they may not be playing for bowl eligibility, and it could mean absolutely nothing to them. But I think that they'll show up for that game, you know, not looking too, you know, too far ahead, because K-State's obviously got an enormous one against Baylor. But it's interesting. It's going to be an interesting day on Friday. Friday morning in Austin, in case they goes into town. But I do want to say too, I want to give credit. You mentioned it to KU. They played a great game. They really did play a great game, and there were multiple times they could have folded in that game, and they didn't. You know, they got up 3 touchdowns, as you mentioned, Eddie, and Texas came back and tied that game, and KU was able to extend it, get up a couple scores, and Texas came back and tied it. And KU was able to, they were able to bounce back in overtime and get a score and get 2-point conversion and win the game. They played great. They made a ton of big plays, and they really faced a lot of adversity. And so, look, I hate KU. I hate KU as much as the other guy. But I also give credit where it's due. And KU played great. You mentioned that Neil was great. Daniels was great. I think they're both going to be good players for KU. I've already mentioned to you, I think Lance Leipold he's a good coach, and so I think that he's got the ability to turn them around somewhat. So, you know, could be a glimpse into KU. Let's not forget they got close to beating Oklahoma as well.
They did, yep.
But you know, still, you know, Texas just, they didn't look motivated for good chunks of the game. They looked out of sorts. They got one of their coaches, left his wife for another wife with a monkey that attacked someone on a lane. Then you've got players leaking viral videos of other coaches going on profane-laced tyrants and buses about entering the transfer portal. And it's just like, oh my gosh, there's so much going on in Texas. It's just incredible. But Eddie, I couldn't turn that game off. It was so entertaining. I couldn't turn it off, and I never would think I would say that about a Texas Kansas football game, but I couldn't turn it off. I was glued to it. I was glued to it from the second quarter on.
Yep, the same here. Once I turned it on, I didn't change the time channel for the rest of the night. That's for sure. Yeah.
I couldn't take my eyes off the screen.
Yeah, that was something. That was definitely something. Well, speaking of winning streaks, like you talked about earlier, switching it back over to K-State. Yeah, K-State finally gets over the Neil Brown hump that we've talked about the last several years on this podcast. Finally, K-State solid in all three phases of the game. Of course, having to withstand a comeback from West Virginia there. They got dicey there for sure until Skylar Thompson hitting Sammy Wheeler on a little seam route. Fourth down, going for it. Chris Kleiman, the offense, going for it right there, and was the backbreaker for West Virginia. K-State pretty much handled West Virginia there. 34-17 at home, setting the stage for a big game on Saturday against Baylor. 4:30. Everybody's talking about how weird's the time. It is what it is.
But, yeah, normal for me, Eddie. It's 2:30 time slot for me. Works on my schedule.
Yes, indeed. So 4:30 here, senior night. It's pretty much going to be a night game because the way the time change falls, with it being darker around 5:30, 5:45. So it's going to be a prime time game pretty much. Yep. And for K-State, senior night, Skylar Thompson's last game as a Wildcat at home anyways, along with several others. Huge, huge game here. Skylar Thompson, once again, only threw for 138 yards in this game. and threw a touchdown pass in this game. But the defense, Alex, once again, setting the tone. West Virginia gets the ball, won the toss, and got the ball. Wanted to start the game, and then right off the bat, Rush East was all over the field last week, and he got the tip ball interception, which set up the first score of the game, which Joe Irvin punched in for 2 yards there in this game. It looked like K-State was going to blow out West Virginia right out of the water, and West Virginia just hung around a little bit, and then finally the momentum, which switched over Skylar Thompson's big play to Sammy Wheeler there, and then Deuce Vaughn took care of the rest there. Another 100-yard plus day for Deuce, who continues to be on the tear this year. Total yards here real quick, just to run out some of the simple stats here. West Virginia, even though K-State gave up a lot of yards, that was kind of a little bit in the second half. West Virginia kind of got on a roll, which you can't do that. It gets a really good Baylor team. 345 yards for the Mountaineers to 299 for K-State. Pass yards, 268 to 138, which I just mentioned. Right there, rushing yards, K-State on it again with the duo of Deuce Vaughn and Joe Irvin, 161 yards to 77. Penalty yards, quite a day, a good day for K-State, only one penalty for 10 yards, which was pretty good, and I kind of mentioned it. I think it was either the last episode or the one before that, one of the game recaps, that K-State needed to be better disciplined. Well, there you go, a penalty. And only 10 yards, first downs, 20 to 15 in favor of West Virginia. Third down conversions, 50% for K-State, 7 to 14 to 5 to 14 for West Virginia. And perfect on fourth down, as I just mentioned, the big play that pretty much was West Virginia's doom right there. And then, yeah, West Virginia was not bad at all either. Fourth down, 3 of 4 as well. So finally, Chris Klieman, getting over the Neil Brown hump that we talked about in several years now. And K-State really set up, as I mentioned in the preview show last week on the podcast here, K-State top half of the league, and now they're right behind, they're tied right now for fourth with Iowa State, which lost to Texas Tech. We didn't mention that on a walk-off there. So Iowa State's disappointing season continues for them. So what makes you wonder if K-State would have came out and played better against Iowa State, what would have been, right? So Baylor, 5-2, third place right now, and K-State tied for fourth. And if K-State can win this game, they can possibly, I don't know who's Iowa State's playing this week, but right now our minds are on. That's an interesting game there. Where's that game at? Is that in Ames?
I believe it's in Norman. I think it is. I can tell you, Eddie. Yes, it is in Norman.
So we'll see. We'll see. Obviously, Oklahoma plays better at home than they do away, in my opinion. So we'll see what happens there on that front there, but. Here in Manhattan, Kansas, the stage is set for a huge opportunity for K-State. Obviously, the 11th-ranked Baylor Bears come into town, but before we get in that preview, Alex, what are your initial thoughts on finally getting over the hump against West Virginia last weekend?
Well, you mentioned that, getting over the Neil Brown hump, getting over the West Virginia hump, whatever you want to call it. Chris Klieman, in these last three games of the season, is facing three schools he's never beaten. He's never beaten West Virginia. He's never beaten Baylor. He's never beaten Texas. And I was interested to see, can he get some monkeys off his back in this kind of last quarter of the season? And he got one. He got one in what I would actually kind of consider the biggest one, just because Neil Brown came in at the same time that he did. We touched on this before. Neil Brown is a finalist for K-State job. K-State went with Chris Klieman. Neil Brown went to West Virginia. So naturally, there were comparisons made, right? Out of the gate, who won that coaching search, that coaching battle? And it's been pretty close, but Neil Brown had gotten Chris Klein the first few times. So I could say, you could say that was maybe the biggest monkey to get off the back of any of them. But I was just curious in general, kind of how he would do. Would do in the stretch. And so for K-State to come out and to play with the focus, the intensity that they did against West Virginia was important. And made a lot of sense. You know, this is a game that meant a lot to K-State. Let's not forget that K-State was 16th in the country when they went to West Virginia last year and lost a game that was one of the worst football games I've ever watched in my life. I mean, it was truly awful, Eddie. Deuce Vaughn had 23 total yards in that game. K-State gave up 38 points, I think, to West Virginia. I don't even know if K-State got into double digits in that one. It was ugly. It was bad. And it left a bad taste in the team's mouth. And, coming back into West Virginia, you could tell they had that focus and that intensity. I think the focus showed, Eddie, you mentioned it. You didn't have a lot of penalties. You didn't have a lot of broken assignments. You didn't see things like that would happen due to a lack of focus. So I think that just kind of further drives on that point that they were really focused for this game and they were really dialed in. I had a feeling that West Virginia, you talked about the run that they went on there, Eddie. I had a feeling that was going to come because you mentioned it. K-State got up big early, but West Virginia had. They were still racking up more yards, and in my mind, I thought, you know, at some point that's gonna kind of balance out a little bit, and I was a little worried because K-State was going pretty conservative in their play calling, when they got up, and
yep.
I wasn't a big fan of that.
Yep.
I was not a big fan of that. But with that said, when the game did tighten up, and I mentioned, I'll give credit where credit's due. While I didn't like what Courtney Messingham did kind of in the middle quarters there, where the game kind of tightened up and it seemed like K-State, in my opinion, got too conservative offensively, they got aggressive again. When that game tightened up, they got aggressive. And you mentioned it. They went for it on fourth down. Chris Common mentioned it. He said, we didn't want to play the ball. We didn't want to get the ball back to them. We wanted to score. We wanted to score on that drive. We were committed to scoring. And that's what they did. They went for it on fourth down. Love the play call. I would rather them go for it there and not get it at even punt. And you know what? Skyler threw his best ball of the day. He threw his best ball of the day.
Yep.
The most important
Indeed.
Play.
Yep. Most important.
And it, you know what? That's what happens. That's why you go for it in situations like that with your sixth-year quarterback behind center. You just got to trust him. You got to trust him, and you got to put the ball in his hands and let him make a play. And so. Skyler didn't have his best day. He definitely did not have his best day, but he made a play when he needed to make a play. And K-State got aggressive when they needed to get aggressive. And you know what? It turned into a touchdown, and K-State broke the game back open, and they were able to win the game. So I thought that they did a nice job of dialing it back up there. And I think that's kind of the K-State coaching's kind of evolution a little bit. Because we talked about it, Eddie. There were times that they were just too predictable on offense. And I think that K-State might be caught West Virginia a little off guard with that drive. And I'm like, no, West Virginia was expecting a couple of things and a couple of wrinkles that K-State threw at them offensively. So that was impressive. And it was really all aspects of the game, Eddie. They did what they needed to do offensively. They were efficient there, ran the ball well. You mentioned Deuce had a big game. He had 121 yards. You know, Joe Irvin chipped in a 31 extra yards, no touchdown. K-State runs for over 160, so you know they're effective on the ground and efficient. They rushed for over 4 yards carry, and so they did what they needed to there. K-State continues to play well defensively. I think that's a big story too. And you mentioned it, K-State had a little good fortune go to, but you know what? They had guys in the right positions to make plays, and if you do that, then you can take advantage of those bounces, and you can make some opportunistic plays like Russ East did on that first drive. Jared Diggie missed his guy. He threw behind him. He couldn't turn around and get it bounced out of his hands. But you know what? Russ East was in the right play, right place at the right time, in case he gets that ball. DK made a huge play where he blew it up and forced a fumble in that game. Just made another game-changing play for K-State. K-State continued to get pressure with the line. And that has been the biggest thing I've seen, Eddie, is K-State's kind of rise in defense the last few weeks. For me, the biggest factor is K-State getting pressure with that line. They're winning at the line of scrimmage. They're pushing offensive lines back, so they're able to be more disruptive, and it's forcing quarterbacks to make more ill-advised throws, and the secondary is taking advantage of it. It's almost like they work together, Eddie. It's almost like if you get pressure on the quarterback, good things happen. But look, that's why the game starts at the line of scrimmage. That's why it starts in the trenches. That's the name of the game. And I think that's been the biggest thing for K-State. We mentioned it earlier, secondary, they weren't playing their best football. They weren't playing their best football early. We expected them to be pretty good. But K-State was getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback at times. And especially when K-State was kind of getting picked apart. And so, look, does the K-State defense still have some deficiencies? Yes, they do. They absolutely do. I'm not going to act like they don't. But are they doing a better job of figuring out who they are and playing to their strengths? Yes, they are. And I think the coaches are getting more comfortable with the players and what they can do, and they're getting more comfortable in the 3-3-5 defense. And they finally got a defensive end that can do some of the things that Khalid Duke was supposed to do in the 3-3-5 defense when they were good early on. You throw Anudike Uzama out there, and now he's doing what Khalid Duke was doing in that 3-3-5, and all of a sudden, hey, your defense looks more like it did at the beginning of the year when you actually do. I don't think that's a coincidence. So I think it starts up front, and just really impressed with the job that they did. Look, West Virginia, they didn't play a very disciplined football game, Eddie. They took the cheapest shot I've seen of all the cheap shots on Skylar Thompson on Saturday. They did a lot of stupid things and a lot of undisciplined things. And look, give K-State credit. K-State blocked a punt for a touchdown. That's vintage K-State. But West Virginia, they did not play very disciplined football. But K-State took advantage of it. That's what good teams do. Good teams take advantage of when you make mistakes like that. And so give credit to K-State for that. And the fact that they're continuing to roll. And I would say this is one of their best wins of the year, Eddie. Being able to, I know West Virginia's 4-6, but they're better than the record. They beat some good teams, and I think that they still could get 6-6 and do a bowl game. So the fact that K-State was able to double them up at home, I thought was a big deal.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Yeah, continuing on that stat here. Yeah, you don't see it on the stat sheet, but the defensive line starting to step up a little bit. The only personal, actually. Yeah, so in there, Cody Fletcher had 7 tackles. Dan Green, another busy afternoon for him. 6 total tackles. Julius Brents, he had a good game as well with 6. Jaron McPherson. Ross Elder. Getting up in there a little bit more, playing a little bit better. He and McPherson had 5 total tackles, and Nate Matlack, once again, had a late sack in this one. I think that's my third sack of the season for him already. And Uzama, another fumble, cost another fumble. Eli Huggins, one of the drives, Eli Huggins took over. I think it was early in the game there when West Virginia was driving towards our end zone. I was sitting in the new, improved south, or I should say the fam, was sitting in the, we were sitting in the, just underneath the new Shamrock zone.
I thought you were
going to
say you were in the Shamrock zone.
No, we do not. No, we do not.
In the Shamrock zone, okay.
We do not have that kind of money. But
you don't have that kind of money?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Rolling dollar bills like that?
No. I don't have those bills like that. I don't like that. At least not yet. But, yeah, Eli Huggins, he took over one of those drives as well. Timmy Horn, he had a tackle as well. So, yeah, this defensive line, once again, obviously, you don't have Massey. You don't have Khalid Duke, as you mentioned. So, yes, this defense still, gives up here and there. But when they get backed up to a corner, it seems they come up with a big play, a fumble recovery, a big sack or interception there that turns the game around. In this secondary that we called out on this podcast, Alex, as we said a few weeks ago, it might if you have not listened to those recent episodes of the Triple P, you might want to go back
and they were horrible.
Look at it now because they are terrible.
Oh, they're awful.
Brent, Yeast, Reggie Stubblefield, I'm starting to like this kid. starting to be one of those emotional leaders right behind Daniel Green for that secondary. Justin Garner getting a bit more playing time. We haven't called his name much here in the 2021 campaign. So, you have those guys all playing in unison right now, and you got a Baylor team coming in here, obviously. Off the upset of Oklahoma last weekend, 27-14, which just earlier here, just a couple hours ago, the Big 12 fined Baylor $25,000 for storming the field. Not one.
We'll probably cover the cost.
Yeah. Yeah. So they got They had to deal with that, obviously, and then, of course, you have to deal with the old crybaby, Lincoln Riley there. Very not happy with it, but hey, take your loss, Lincoln. Just take it.
He came off as a whiny. He just came off as a whiny crybaby.
Yeah, that was terrible. I mean, you lost the game anyways. Why are you complaining about a field goal when you pretty much lost the game anyway? So I don't understand.
Well, it's just look. You play at Oklahoma. I mean, you're the head coach at Oklahoma, okay? Like, you guys just ditched the conference, okay? And you look like a little cry. You're at Oklahoma. You're at the University of Oklahoma. You're the head coach at the University of Oklahoma. You're ditching the conference. People want to get you. They want to beat you. And that's not even why Dave Aranda kicked the field goal. He kicked the field goal because of the Big 12 tiebreaker rules, because he knows that there's a chance that Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Baylor could be tied going into the Big 12 championship, and point differentials was tiebreakers, and they lost by 10 to Oklahoma State. And so if they kicked a field goal, they would have won by 13, which means it'd be plus 3 in the point differential. So, look, his reasoning was actually valid for the field. So just shut up, Lincoln Riley. Just stop crying. You just sound like a sore loser. That's just what he sounds like. He just sounds like a sore loser. Take your loss, move on. You got your butt beat by Baylor, and you're not going to the playoffs. That is what it is, okay? Just get over it. There we go. Rant over, Eddie.
I'm not gonna touch what he was whining about when we were early in the conference season when we had him here at the Bell. So I'm not gonna go there with that. That's just a whole nother podcast. I could do a whole podcast on that, maybe a 30-minute podcast on just that by itself. But
Eddie, if you don't like the results of the review, just challenge it. just challenge it, right?
Yeah, apparently Lincoln Riley taught us that. Yeah, so any little thing, we can challenge anything, I guess.
I can challenge anything. So. Yeah, I throw whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Take your loss, Oklahoma. Yeah. Anyways, Baylor, they've been, I think, to me, the surprising team, kind of going in their direct direction with Dave Aranda, who's done a terrific job with that program. Jerry Bohannon, he's thrown for just shy over 2,000 yards coming to this game. Abram Smith, a 1,000-yard rusher, quietly, just handling his business. Then you have the receiver, Tyquan Thornton. He seemed to be there forever. Over 700 yards receiving for him this year coming into this game. A defensively leading interception is JT Woods with 3. And then a leading tackler for the Baylor Bears is Dylan Doyle with 66. So this Baylor team, and going back to the top of the podcast, Alex, you predicted that we would beat Baylor, and so did I.
We didn't know they'd be this.
I didn't know Baylor would be this good. We didn't know that going in here. If we would have did crystal ball, that we knew that Baylor was going to be good. I might have changed the pick a little bit. Maybe.
A little bit. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit. But, hey, look, K-State has an opportunity here. Here's another opportunity. We don't want to overlook Baylor, obviously, because Texas, what happened to them, obviously, is well covered on this pod, on this episode tonight. But Baylor, they have something to play for still. Opportunity to still possibly get to the Big 12 title game if OU slips up again, possibly to Iowa State. And OU,
by the way.
State.
Yep.
You stole my thunder on that. That's all right.
I apologize.
No, that's all right. So this is going to be really interesting. For K-State, of course, Pyman. For us, another opportunity to possibly jump the Cyclones. And obviously, if you beat Baylor, you have a tiebreaker over them. So
you can jump the third.
You can jump the third, Alex. Third. Yeah. And a possibility to Keelan Valentine tweeted last week that we got to go. I know, again, we keep kind of hopping back and forth between Baylor and Texas. But he said, "Now we gotta beat Texas now." Since KU beat them,
Texas now.
Yeah. So, but first we gotta take care of Baylor at home. Senior night, a tremendous opportunity for Skylar Thompson, Noah Johnson, Jerome McPherson, those seniors to end at least the home part of their careers here in Manhattan on a big note. They can take out Baylor. Obviously, I only think it back to last year. Last year's game against Baylor, but what an opportunity wasted last year on the road. You got Baylor on the ropes, on the road, and you don't execute in the fourth quarter of that ball game last year. And I think you're mad. I think we were both upset. I know we recapped it last year.
We were very upset at it.
Yeah, we were very upset that that's a big missed opportunity for K-State to beat Baylor. They outplayed Baylor.
Way outplayed them.
And then of course it was kind of an ugly game with the penalties and whatnot.
Yeah, there was penalties. It was rainy. I mean, cold. K-State was dominating.
Yep.
And they just peed right on their leg. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, that's what they did. And Courtney Messingham just called it was so bad. I mean, the K-State was playing so scared in that fourth quarter. I think that's what frustrated me more than anything. You dominate the three quarters, and then you just play scared. Like, just the whole fourth quarter.
Now I'm remembering it.
Yes, and then Baylor just kept storming back. And you can't stop them on defense, and you can't convert a first down on offense because you're afraid that Will Howard's going to lose you the game.
The last drive of the game.
Yeah, that was concern. Really bad.
Concerned.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. It wasn't bad. K-State played well for a lot of games. The fourth quarter was bad. And the fact that K-State lost that game and the way they lost it was what was so frustrating. Kind of, and not to this extent, but it kind of reminded me of the Oklahoma State game last year. The Oklahoma State and Baylor games kind of, to me, lumped together. But I think the Baylor was more excusable because K-State just crumbled in the fourth quarter. I mean, they just crumbled. Playing three good quarters, just crumbled like that in the fourth quarter. They were up, Eddie, 2-3 scores in that game. And Baylor was turning the ball over left and right. And K-State just could gather away a couple times. And yeah, they just gave the game to Baylor. But look, you mentioned, Eddie, you know, we got a chance to turn the page and, you know, forget that one. And maybe Chris Kleiman can get the Baylor monkey off his back this week.
Yeah, possibility. So this is another team that Chris Kleiman has not beaten, obviously. So the revenge tour for Chris Kleiman can continue on Saturday night.
Yep.
I know I wanted to talk about basketball here, here with women's and men's here. So I want to get to the individual statistics here real quick. before moving on. But yeah, great, tremendous opportunity for K-State to get one more here. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, so while you look that up, I'll quickly, you know, mention this. I want to get this out there too about K-State Baylor. We talked early in the season. K-State, they dropped opportunity. They had opportunities. They had opportunity at Oklahoma State. They had an opportunity against Oklahoma at home. They had an opportunity against Iowa State back when people still thought, you know, Iowa State was like a legit Big 12 title contender. They dropped all those opportunities. They've now taken care of business, and they've put themselves in their position for one more shot, one more chance on really the big stage. I'm not going to say the big stage, because their game against Texas will be on the big stage, because that game's going to everyone. Like I said, it's Friday morning. It's on Black Friday. It's on Fox. Gus and Joel are going to be there. That game will be the big stage. But this is your chance to get like a big win. You're playing number 11 Baylor. I mean, you're playing number 11 Baylor. You lost to number 9 Oklahoma State. You lost to number, now 13, or number 7 Oklahoma. And now you've got your shot. You've got a shot against number 11 Baylor. This is it. You know, you couldn't convert early in the season. You couldn't get one of those games. Can you get one? You've got one more opportunity, and it's on senior night. It's Skyler's last ride. It's his last rodeo in the build. You mentioned it. Jerron McPherson, his last rodeo in the build. Noah Johnson, last rodeo in the build. You know, this is K-State's opportunity, Eddie, to show that they've the progress that they've made from early October to mid-November. How much better have you gotten in the last month? Are you going to come out and you're going to have a similar performance like you did those first three games? Or are you going to show growth and evolution over the past month and a half in this Baylor game? Because if K-State can come out, Eddie, and beat Baylor, I think that would be really, really telling for K-State. Because I think it would really just illustrate the growth and the progression that this team has had throughout the year. And I think it would be great for the coaching staff to be able to say, you beat pretty much a top 10 team. They're number 11. But you beat arguably a top 10 team. And that's a big deal. That's a really, really big deal. And that would be a big deal for the program. And it'd be a big deal for K-State. And I'm going to be honest, Eddie, I think K-State's got a really good shot. I feel really good about the game. I think K-State's focused. I think that they want it. I think that they're better than they were a month and a half ago. And I think Baylor's a pretty good matchup for K-State. I don't think Baylor's a team that's going to overpower K-State. Baylor's got a good offense, average 453 yards a game. They score over 35 points. You mentioned it, Gary Bohannon. He's having a great season. And Baylor's got a good defense, too. But I look at the matchup, and I think that there's opportunities. I think that there's opportunities for K-State in this game. And I think K-State is going to want to come out and send a message. And this is a great, great opportunity for them to do it. I like their chances. I'm sticking to what I said at the beginning of the season. And you know what? Vegas likes it too, because the line's even right now. So, but I do. It's going to be really, really interesting. And I just hope people pack the bill, Eddie, and can show appreciation to those seniors, and you know, I just hope it's an electric environment there against Baylor.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, those losses early in the season without Skylar Thompson. Actually, no, take it back. Oklahoma. Oh, he played Oklahoma, so my bad. So he wasn't on the field.
Skylar on one leg.
Yeah, and he threw the ball very well. In that game. Skylar Thompson, just over approaching 1,700 yards through the air, 9 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Deuce Vaughn needs 13 yards to surpass 1,000 yards. Once again, 13 TDs for number 22. And Phillip Brooks, 32 catches this year. 2 touchdowns on 432 yards for them. And K-State, just a shade under 30 points a game. So, yeah, I mean, this is an even matchup. And it's going to definitely come down to see if K-State wants it more. And yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards K-State in this one. We both predicted K-State would win this game. And if K-State come out and just continue to build and build on that momentum where they have, and that defense can
gets a couple sacks and forced one handed the mistakes, K-State's going to be sitting in the driver's seat at home. And when the lights, when it gets dark and the lights come on, that crowd and everything else, woo, I expect that to be a pretty damn good atmosphere on Saturday as we're recording this on Tuesday night. So
I just kind of feel like it's their moment. I just kind of feel like this is their moment with those dropped games that they had early in the season.
Yep, yep. So we'll see what happens on there. K-State's last home game of the season, senior night on this Saturday against Baylor, the 11th ranked team in the country. I think this game, if you guys can't make it out to the Bell, is on FS1. I gotta check that. Yep. Okay, so it is FS1. For those who can't make it out to Skylar's and the rest of the super senior slash seniors' last home game, it's gonna be this should be a good game. Definitely a good one of a couple good games in the Big 12. I kind of want to switch gears real quick here, approaching the top of the hour, the basketball. Jeff Mitty's team, as Alex mentioned, 4-0 start of season. and most likely so, and they've been taking care of business here, at least to this point anyway. They took care of in North Carolina and T last night. When this podcast comes out on Thursday, it'll be a few days ago, but as we're recording this on Tuesday night, as we're approaching 11 o'clock Central Time, 73-49 against North Carolina A&T last night. And Ioka Lee continues her dominance early. 31 points, 13 of 17 shooting from the field, 13 rebounds, and tying her career high with 7 blocks for Ioka Lee.
Crazy.
9th career game with a double-double in 5 or more blocks. She is a top. We haven't talked much about this roster, which we'll definitely have to dive on into that as we get along here with this, with both. We kind of know what's going with the men's, but the women's kind of need to go refresh that a little bit. Mentioned some of their players on the daily, like Serena Sundell, that we didn't even talk about in the offseason. Pretty good freshman, 6'1 guard. You hit on it. They need to put some talent. They lost critical talent. Obviously, Rachel Rinke is still out, so you don't have her, but you have other players in the mix. Emily Ebert, Rebecca Dollinger, who transferred over as well, who scored 9 points in the game last night as well. And oh, by the way, Ioka Lee just tied another record. Breaking news on the Pro Project Podcast. School record for career 30 points a game, joining Brittany Chambers, which I went to school with her.
I did.
2009 to 2013 was 6 career games of 30 or more points, and she's likely going to break that. I kind of predicted that in one of the dailies earlier, but
her stat line's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous right now. And right now, obviously, when you're getting help from the other young ladies on that team, Serena Sundell, again, mentioning her again.
Yep.
Jalen Glenn had 7 points in the game. I want to say the twins, the Glenn sisters. The Glenn twins, I'm 100% sure about that. Again, I have to do a deeper dive on that. Maybe you know a little bit more on that front than I do. But anyways, K-State 4-0 in their next game opponent, NC State. That is the 19th, I believe that is this weekend, on the ACC Network. So that's going to be NC State. That's an ACC team right there. So that's going to be intriguing.
They're ranked 5th in the country. Yeah. they're playing at the big boy table. I heard the big girl table now, I should say.
Yeah, we're going to find out a lot about. I mean, last year, they played Kentucky right down on the wire last year. So we're going to find out a little bit more about Jeff Mini's team. But any early thoughts so far? I know it's early, but any early thoughts about this Jeff Mini's team in a kind of a big year for him this year?
Definitely. A couple thoughts, and I'll get into those in a second. I'm taking a look, and I looked at their knockout schedule in the past a little bit, but I kind of forgot how low some of the games they had on here. As you mentioned, they've got NC State, who's fifth in the country. I totally forgot they're playing South Carolina, who's number one.
Ooh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah,
they play them coming up here in a couple weeks. At South Carolina, number one in the country. Wow. So that one will be something. And I think that game actually, that's on SEC Network. So that might be on the ESPN channel. Well, it is on the ESPN channel, but I don't know how many people will get that. But they've got that game. And they play number 9 Oregon. They also have Oregon, 9th in the country. And that game is in Brandon.
Yeah,
they're bringing them to Brandon, the Oregon Ducks. So, they've got 3 top 10 teams in their non-con schedule, and I did not realize that. I knew that they played some good teams, but I did not realize that they had 3 top 10 ones. And then, you dip into Big 12 play. I'm not going to go too far down the line, but to me, dip into Big 12 play, Baylor sticks, West Virginia's 22, Iowa State's 14. Texas is 12, so, pretty good. Conference looking pretty good. But, look, you got to give K-State credit. And you mentioned it. They started 4-0. They won their opener. They scored over 100 points in their opener. They went by over 60, completely dominant. But what's ironic is you go from scoring 103 in one game to 44 in the next game. That's over 60-point difference. So,
or about damn, 60 that's a head starter there.
That's wild. But, hey, their defense held them to 30. Held the UT Martin Skyhawks to 30 points. So, give them credit for that. But they had a good win against Western Kentucky and NCAA&T. But, now we're going to see them, like I said, we're going to see them with that elevated challenge, but some more stiff competition. That'd be a better way of putting it. We're going to see some more stiff competition, and we'll see what K-State can do. You mentioned it, Eddie. They played some good teams last year. Kentucky, that was one of them. There were some other ones that were sprinkled in there. They hung with them. They hung with some of these teams. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do against NC State, and then what they can do in some of these opportunities. But look, they've still got plenty of winnable games too, on the schedule. And so, they're off to a good start. They're 4-0. And you mentioned some of the new players. I do believe that the Glenn sisters are twins. They're both freshmen.
Because I want to say they are, yeah.
Yeah, they're both freshmen. They're both from Kansas City, and I think they are twins. I think you were correct in that. You mentioned Sundell. That's a big addition. For K-State, we talked about it last year. K-State needs some players who can take some pressure off of Aoka Lee, and if you can throw in there Serena Sundell to help with that. Some of the transfers that you mentioned, being able to have Gallagher go in there and spare you, 20 minutes a night off the bench. That could be big for K-State. Someone who can score, someone who can shoot the 3-ball, someone who can give them a little bit of outside shooting. And so the Glenn twins, see what the Glenn twins can do. I think that there's some pieces there. And then we mentioned it going into the offseason, Eddie, that they needed that. They needed to get some transfers. They needed to get some freshmen to step up and to help Aoka Lee, because this was just the Aoka Lee show last year. And as amazing as Aoka Lee is, she can't do it all on her own. And that's not going to lead to the most successful – that's not the most successful formula for success. So, or that's not the best formula for success, I should say. So, Lady of the Week, I have to just say that she, so far this year, Ayoka Lee is averaging 29.3 points a game, 11 rebounds a game, and is shooting over 73% from the field. No. Yeah, she's making 3 out of every 4 buckets. That is incredible. That is unbelievable. She's averaging damn near 30. She dropped 43 in her first game of the season. And you know what? The only reason that she's averaging under 30 is because she had a horrible game against UT Martin where she only scored 10 points.
Yeah, when you score 44, you're not going to...
But don't, she still shot 63% from the field, though.
Yeah.
So, look, 43 points, 33 points, 31 points, 13 rebounds, 9 rebounds, 9 rebounds, 7 blocks, 3 blocks, 4 blocks, 4 steals, 3 steals. It's just incredible. Her stat line is just, it just blows my mind. I don't know every player in the Big 12 Conference in women's basketball, but golly, she has got to be near the top. She is just dominant, complete dominant force, and she looks like she's on a new level this year, Eddie. As it looks like an even more dominant Ayoka Lee, which should scare the crap out of the rest of the Big 12, if that is indeed true. So the Big 12 is really good in women's basketball this year. But, K-State is going to be able to say most nights when they take the floor, we've got the best player on the floor. And that's an advantage in and of itself. Can K-State take advantage of it? And can they do a good enough job of putting the pieces around her to take some of the pressure off of her? And can the coaching staff help this team grow and evolve as the season went on? Because we talked about this last year. It felt like the coaching staff struggled to get development from that group. We just didn't see a lot of development as the season went on. And kind of like we did with the men's team, we did see the men's team develop there near the end of the year. We never really saw that with the women's team. So, can we see them develop some of these freshmen, some of these players, and really kind of grow on, build off some of the experience they got last year in some of those big games. So it's going to be interesting to see, but they're off to a good start, Eddie.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Alex Aiden, Eddie Greer, the Purple Project Podcast, the top of the hour. It is 11 Central Time, so... Yep, getting close. Well, it's past my bedtime, but getting close to end this podcast. And we'll end the podcast with Batman's basketball. And another note here, real quick, before we change gears to close it out with men's basketball, real quick. Serena Sundell is a local product. Freshman from, actually, check that. She's a Missouri product from Marysville, Missouri. Marysville High School, so...
Still local-ish.
Kansas, Missouri, yeah. They can be local. It is what it is. But, yeah, Sundell, so far, has been pretty good for them so far this year. I'm really excited to see how she progresses. And, obviously, the big games. I'm interested to see how Ayoka Lee does against obviously NC State coming up, but South Carolina, a good team. South Carolina, Oregon coming to Bramlage, they got some spicy games, just like
they
the menu.
Do. There's some spice in there.
That's for sure. So we'll see what happens there. Obviously 4-0, and going into I think that's a Saturday game. So that will be interesting to see, and of course. We'll have a recap of that game on the daily as well.
At Bramlage.
What was that?
The Oregon game's the 19th, right, Eddie?
Yeah, the...
Pack Bramlage.
Wait a minute.
People need to get there. No excuse. No excuse not to be there unless you're gone for Christmas. But if you're not gone for Christmas, you need to be Bramlage.
Hey, hold up a second. I gotta check that. You sure? That's the 19th, December? I'm talking about
Wait, hang on.
What day did you just say, Eddie? What day did you just say?
I just said, let me see here. Let me go back here for
a minute. I thought you said Saturday the 19th.
That's what I said. That's what I said for NC State. Let me see. Let me see real quick.
Oh, okay. I got confused with Oregon. Oregon's the 18th. Oregon is the 18th of December.
Yeah, so I'm talking. NC State 19th. That's a first Friday.
Sorry, I was talking about Oregon. We were talking about two different
games. Way fat. You're fast on the trigger. That's next month.
Exactly. I'm fast on the trigger. I was talking about Oregon.
Yeah, so you can promote that in the upcoming months of the podcast. but yeah, so November 19th, it's this Friday, NC State at NC State. So please do not go to Brandon.
Yeah, don't go to NC State. We're not asking you to travel.
We're not asking you to go that far. We got business to take care of for football. Yeah. On Saturday, yeah. So don't do that.
No. You can back Bramlage in December 18th, not 19th.
Yeah, 18th, December 18th. Remember that, folks. Anyways, speaking of Bramlage, this podcast will go up on Thursday, but by then we're gonna know what the men's score is, as they're gonna welcome Omaha to Bramlage. Talking about Bruce Weber's team, obviously to come off the 10-point win against the Rattlers of Florida A&M. Last weekend to start 1-0, obviously led by a key player on all that, the rebuilding phase. Selim McGill's 10 points late was pretty much the difference in that game. To close out the podcast here, I know it's only one game in a preseason game against Pitt State, but Omaha tomorrow, and when this podcast comes out, Alex, on Thursday, we're going to know. Well, hopefully K-State takes care of business. We see crazier things happen with this K-State team, especially letting Florida A&M hang around as much as they did. But your early thoughts on this basketball team so far?
Yeah, well, you know, Florida A&M, that game was actually kind of a little bit tricky because they've got some older, more experienced guys. They really, last year, played some Power 5 schools pretty well and pretty close. And so... I didn't think that game was necessarily going to be a blowout by any stretch of the imagination, but I did think that K-State was a little underwhelming in that game, to be fair. Enough to where I was able to catch the first half, and I was not able to catch much of the second half because I had to be somewhere else that night. But it was enough to where I was sitting there, and I couldn't check my phone, and I was like, oh, gosh, like I'm going to get the ESPN alert. And I'm legitimately going to be sitting there wondering, is this a K-State win or loss on my phone? Because, I mean, it was that close. K-State just couldn't pull away. But they finally pulled away late in the game. Nigel Pack, I'll say this, he looked good, in what I saw of him. He was 6'11 from the field. He had 4 threes. He was making plays, and K-State was moving the ball. And I think we did see some things from their offense that was encouraging that we didn't necessarily see last year from them. I thought we saw a little bit better ball movement at times. I thought we saw a little bit better pace at times, and I think that we just saw that K-State's got some more shooters on the field on the court, and I think we kind of saw that in the Pitt State game, the preseason game too, but. They've got some scores. They've got some athletic players, and look, Selton Miguel. He had a really good game against Penn State. He had a good game against Florida A&M to open up. He was 4-6 from the field, 2-2 from three, scored in double figures. And I mentioned it before the season began. If you're getting offense like that from Selton Miguel with long defense that he provides, you've got something going there with him and Nigel Pack. I think. Looking at I know a lot of people were curious about Mark Smith and what he could do for K-State. I thought he had a nice night. Doing 34 minutes, and he scored 12 points. 4 attempts from the field, 1-3 from 3-for-6 from the lines. I mean, it wasn't his best game, but I still think you saw a lot of nice things from him. You saw him get 6 rebounds as well. So he was able to get on the glass there a little bit. So, I mean, I think that there were some encouraging things. Let's keep in mind they really didn't get to see Davion Bradford. He'd been out of practice for weeks, sick. Yeah, he just got back. He did play 14 minutes, but yeah, you really couldn't glean much from that because he hadn't practiced. And so, you know, he only put up 3 points. So we didn't really see K-State, the full K-State, because we know how big of a piece Daigon Bradford is to this offense. You know, I think what I'm hoping for, Eddie, is just that they can be a little more dominant against Omaha. I think that's really what I want to see. They got the win against Florida A&M. I'm happy about that. But, look, after Omaha, we know where they're going, Eddie. They're going to Kansas City. They've got a couple basketball games that are not going to be easy coming up. starting with Arkansas and potentially a matchup with Illinois. After that, we'll just have to see.
Which
Marquette beat Illinois by 1 point yesterday. Marquette's on K-State's schedule as well. They're coming to Bramlage. Bramlage.
There we go. Pat Bramlage.
Pack it. I can't remember when that game actually is against Marquette. It's the 8th, December 8th. It's 10 days before. 10 days before the Oregon game. But no. You know, so I think I want to see K-State just be a little more dominant, Eddie. Be a little more dominant. They get a little confidence going into Kansas City, because Arkansas, you know, they're 16th in the country. We already talked about the run that they made last year. You know, they're 2-0 on the season. But look, they haven't been dominant. I mean, they got 13-point win against Mercer. They do have a 17-point win against Gardner-Webb. But I mean, they're not blowing. They didn't get two blowout wins. I mean, you never know. I mean, there could be something there for K-State to potentially have. I mean, so if you can go out against Omaha, you can control the game. You know, because they really didn't control the game for parts of it against Florida A&M. I think that'd be big. Get some confidence. I just want to see guys get more comfortable, Eddie. We've got some new guys, new roles. You know, get comfortable in those roles and you know, just get K-State to 2-0. You know, let's not play around. We saw him last year and he play around too much and some games that they should have taken care of. And, you know, I think that was some of the inexperience and some of the immaturity of kind of a young squad. You know, but they've got a little more, they got a little more seasoning on this team. So, you know, hopefully they don't do that with Omaha. But I just want to see a little bit more of a complete game. And then if they do that, then, you know, they'll be sitting at the big boy table. I guess Arkansas. but we will see.
Yep. So that's going to be at the T-Mobile Center here. But first, they got to take care of Omaha in their own building tomorrow night when this podcast goes out the night after that. So speaking of which, I'm going to go ahead and kind of recap what's going on with K-State as of Thursday, since this podcast will go up Thursday. The volleyball team coming down the stretch here. They split Iowa State last weekend, so now they got to go on the road to play number 2 Texas. That's always a tough matchup for them, but they've always played Texas pretty tough, but it's going to be in Austin, so that's going to be a difficult task for the volleyball team. As well, then Friday, of course, NC State for Jeff Mini Squad at NC State. We're going to start finding out a lot more about this ball club for women's basketball. And then Texas, again, for volleyball ends the regular season anyways with a little bit of 2-game series with Texas on the road. So we'll see how they fare there. And, of course, Saturday, the big money. Chris Feynman, senior night, Skylar Thompson, host Baylor, 11th ranked Baylor in the country. We talked about it all episode long in the Chris Feynman Revenge Tour. Will it continue Saturday night? We hope so. So everything, the game for Baylor, and so does K-State. K-State has something to play for as well. So huge, huge week of athletics for K-State here coming up next few days. And I want to get this in. I'd be remiss if I did not get this in here. Obviously, I'm going to have more on McKenzie Morris on the volleyball team, who was named Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week again for the second time this year for the volleyball team. So congrats to her. And then I will be remiss not to leave out this. Biggest news for K-State, Eric Kennard getting the gold medal officially
after what took place with the Russian scandal back in 2012.
That's right.
Congratulations to Eric Kennard, gold medalist.
9 years later. 9 years later.
That's crazy. That is crazy. 9 years later, the Russian scandal.
I remember the first time Eddie, I saw him on campus.
Yeah.
The first time. I was right after the Olympics, too. The Olympics happened that summer. I came back that fall. No, actually, it was still summer. It was the first week. And I saw him at, he was not on campus. I did see him on campus. I did see him on campus when he was on campus a couple times. But the first time I saw him was going to Walmart to buy a couple things for my dorm. That sophomore, I think it was my sophomore year. And he was walking out while I was walking in. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, that's Eric Kennard. I just saw him on NBC a month ago. On the Olympics, I was like, that was like the one like starstruck moment that I had on campus. Because you mentioned it, there's athletes all over. Everyone knows. I mean, there's athletes walking on campus. You got classes with them. I had like 6 classes with Tyler Lockett when I was at K-State. Like, they're there. You know it. You get used to it, and everybody knows that. But that was like the one time I was like, oh my gosh, like, that's Eric Kennard. Wow. Like, you know, you just think back and. So yeah, there's my Eric Kennard story. But you're right, Eddie. 9 years later, after that Russian scandal, be able to get the gold that he earned, well deserved for him. Tremendous athlete. You know, just tremendous track field athlete. So you know, like I said, that's well earned, and he put in a great performance that year at the Olympics.
He did. He sure did. And on that note, the Purple Project Podcast episode 71 in the books. 71 episodes of the Purple Project Podcast, all about Kansas State athletics. A huge rest of the week here in the third week of November here, and we're approaching Thanksgiving. As well, I'm pretty sure we're have another episode before previewing Texas before Thanksgiving as well. So a lot is happening here on campus here at K-State here. Of course, the Pearl Project Podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. And on that note, Alex, you know how it closes out. Take us away.
Yeah, you know, Eddie, I'm looking forward to K-State Baylor. And, you know, the basketball's exciting. Hopefully, K-State comes out and they can take care of business, and the women's team can show up against NC State. But I'm excited about the Baylor game. I'm excited. I hope K-State comes out and they play well. And if you're a Manhattan, gas the bill. Fill the bill one final time. Eddie and I started the campaign before the season began. Fill the bill.
Yep.
We're gonna end it now. And tell you to fill the bill. Fill the bill. Support those seniors and go Cats.
Purple Project Podcast. Get it wherever podcasts are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.